Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Biz Bros Podcast. My name is Kyle Nelson. I got my co-host and good friend here, Mr. Eli.
You're good.
I'm fantastic.
I am too. It's a great day.
It's a great day to be alive. Good day to have a good day. Today we have someone not from the States. We're always so glad to have some people around the world on the podcast. Happens every so often with us. And he is in the former space. What's going on? Welcome to the Biz Pros Podcast. My name's Kyle Nelson. I've got my great co-host and good friend here, Mr. Eli Lim.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. It's
beautiful
the episode,
day
man.
Today, man.
Absolutely.
We're really excited for this episode. We've got a great
Absolutely.
Number two, clear, simple images.
Amazon Summer. The first thing that I follow up about in this article is really looking for that initial credit.
You need to be thinking about when it comes to product photography and video production. And today on the BizWars podcast, we have Andy Hooper. He's the CEO of Global E-Commerce Experts and has been successfully expanding businesses into new markets for over 15 years. As an accomplished specialist in e-commerce, Andy now works with companies around the world providing comprehensive gateways and solutions to new markets, especially U.S.-based organizations transitioning into the EU. Andy, welcome to the BizWars podcast.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
Wow. Absolutely.
Pleasure to have you, man. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Sounds like the day's going well. Where are you in the world?
So we are an hour south of London in the United Kingdom, in England. We've just had a heat wave. Everyone was going mad about the heat wave here, and it got to, get it, 40 degrees. I know for the UK, that's hot. But everyone was going bananas here. But I know a lot of you guys would be laughing at that because we had it for about an hour.
That's so funny.
Nice.
Well, amazing. Well, we're glad to have you here. And we're glad to talk e-commerce. We love talking e-commerce, like Kyle said. So let's learn a little bit more about that background. Kyle jumped into a very high level look at the background, but if you can dive in a little bit deeper. Andy,
I lost you there for a second. Let's dive a bit deeper is what I heard.
Yes.
About your background.
Into the background.
How you got into e-commerce and how you got started.
Well, do you know what is strange, isn't it? So 2008-09, we had a little crash and it all went a little bit tits up, didn't it? So in 2008-09, I had a job and I was working for some people and all the credit cards started crashing around you. And basically, I had no money because somebody else was controlling my cash. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I was like, at no point ever again will someone else control my spend. That was the whole point going forwards, that I'd be able to manage my own money going forwards. That was the critical part. All good?
Yes, we're good.
Sorry, we always just... we just talk back and forth. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. we basically had that crash and I needed someone to basically earn some extra cash. So at that point, I said, well, how else can I earn extra money? And I went through this whole process year after year trying to adapt and change. We looked after dogs when people went on holiday. We did garage sales or car boot sales, they'd be known as here. I did wedding photography. I did a whole host of different stuff. I sold stuff. I flipped stuff on eBay and then I sold stuff on Amazon. And you can see where this is all leading. I started getting more into. And probably virtually everyone listening to this has got a business, has probably had a similar pathway as they've developed their business, scrabbling around to think, I need to earn some extra cash. And that's where it all initiated from.
Wow. That is cool. I feel like that's just a trend that of e-commerce. You can sell anywhere. We had a great guest on yesterday that talked about the power of e-commerce is you can sell anywhere and at any time. And I think just earning extra cash is a great way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point too, there's so many other platforms and apps that you can start selling online to people around the world. It's pretty easy to start doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think just I think jumping into the topic, I think would be a great way to just open it up here. But the topic today is how to expand your Amazon private label business worldwide. Let's talk about it. How do you do it?
So do you know what? When e-com sellers say to me, you know, how do I grow my business? How do I scale my business? What do I need to do the next step? Typically, sellers fall into different camps. You've got the seller that's, I want to be a global brand and I want to do everything. And I want to conquer the world. And then you've got the other one that's slightly risk averse. That's like, I've got all these people trying to hijack my listing, hijack my brand, and I need to protect my brand. And typically they fall into two camps. Problem is both of those, in order to do both of those things, need to have a semi-global reach in one form or another. They need to be able to get their brand into the hands of people in different parts of the world before other people do it for them. That's the bottom line. And you know, we started off doing e-commerce, then moving in more into service, but I much prefer service-based businesses. I'm much better with people talking to people than I am getting excited about selling a widget. That's just how I roll. So I ended up moving more into a service type business when we saw a gap in the market in Europe, specifically when e-com sellers needed to be VAT registered here in Europe in order to sell on Amazon. That was like the opportunity, if you like, that led us into this business. And what's happened over that period is that obviously you learn more and more and more about sellers' needs and why they might do things. But realistically, you know, when someone wants to take their brand more global, they fall into those two camps. Yep. You know, is it gung-ho, let's do everything, let's rock? Or is it, I'm slightly risked, someone's going to take over my brand? Especially private label sellers, I think you mentioned there was, you know, what happens is they go to, they basically, you know, redesign something in China, their factory then goes and sells their product as well as them. And that's where the hijacking starts coming, especially in other parts of the world.
Interesting. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
I think a lot of times Amazon sellers, I mean, a majority of them out there, when they just get started, they just don't think that bigger picture of the opportunity of looking at different countries around the world. And, you know, having companies like yours, you know, assisting people to get started worldwide is huge. And I think it's something that we're seeing a lot more people look into earlier down the line, especially because of how much red waters it is in the US at this point when it comes to trying to launch a private label brand.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, if you look at the brands right now, a lot of brands are overstocked. So what's happened is the whole logistics network is absolutely screwed. It's getting better. Yeah. There's the good news. But what's happened is that, you know, we've all come out of this COVID period and we're like, my sales have massively increased. Let's order more stock. But hold on, I need to get 6 months worth of stock, not 3 months, because the logistics. So all of a sudden, they've almost got a year's worth of stock in. And they're now worried that they're not going to sell it because of this contractual sort of piece where it's become a nightmare. And actually, that's where the opportunities all of a sudden are. Wait, there are other things you can do with it. There are other things you need to be doing.
And that, sorry.
That's right.
Okay, sorry, go ahead. We had our phone was ringing in our ears.
Come on in.
Yeah,
is that a caller?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So yeah, that's the key thing, isn't it? It's you understanding where you are currently. I mean, you know, for a lot of sellers, we would typically say, don't bother expanding unless you're doing over $500,000 in your native country. That's a really good ballpark, because you don't have the skills, the expertise, or the resource, be that cash or people, in order to make that work. Right. But actually, you know, now I think we're in a slightly different period, aren't we? You know, businesses have to adapt. Business owners have to adapt their business as they progress, without any shadow of a doubt. And one of those things right now is overstock. You know, how do you utilize that overstock? Well, actually, use that overstock to expand into new markets is a really straightforward piece. Now, if the stock's in the States, that could be Canada. You know, that's straightforward. If it's stock in the States, it could be Europe. You know, there are other places to send that stock other than your own traditional market. Before you reduce it, and put tons of ads on it to get rid of it quick.
Mm, smart.
It's a great. That's a super, super good point. What are some markets that you're seeing really starting to grow and expand? I mean, like Australia. I know
Australia. I've heard. We had John Tilley, the CEO of Zonguru. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or them.
No.
He was. They're like a data-centric tool for Amazon or something. Yeah. Yeah. And he was pushing Australia hard, like really hard. If you can get your feet in there for Amazon, have you heard much about that?
So Amazon in Australia is like being on Amazon in Europe or in 1996 or something. Right. You know, the number of people that are actually purchasing on Amazon Australia is tiny. You know, when we look at the data from our clients and what they're selling, Australia is a long way behind all of the other countries. In our experience, what we're seeing right now. The problem is, do you want to be in there right now at the early doors? The problem that Australia has is that actually Amazon isn't the biggest market. It's only just launched there. There are other marketplaces. eBay is by far one of the biggest still there. But then you look at the number of people in Australia. It's like circa 35 million people. Please don't hold me to that exact number. I appreciate that's not an exact. But it's broadly 35 million people. But the size of the country is vast.
Right.
So when you start looking at those numbers, you look at the UK, for example, where I'm based, there's 66 million people in essentially an area that'd be the size of Sydney. I mean, you know, I'm being a little bit flippant by that, but you get the picture, you know. So that there, for me, there are other markets that you should be going to way before that. And you should be going to ones that are easy, in my opinion.
So for a seller, like you said, you know, you should be doing half a million in sales in your native country. Once you start doing that, and let's say you do have some overstock, so you're there. How easy or difficult is it for someone just to transition over to the EU? Is it, you know, I know it's a process, but
Yeah, well, I'm smiling. And the reason I'm smiling is because it depends how easy you like to make it. And I think you fall into different camps. You know, we've expanded thousands of sellers. And over the years, we started off just doing VAT. But of course, then what happens is a seller says, I need someone to do my returns and accept some stock before it goes to FBA. So we built a warehouse. And then, you know, basically I'm a business owner. I'm an entrepreneur. I solve problems. So when a seller comes to me and says, we can't expand because of X, I'm like, well, let me smash that down and solve it for you. And that's sort of how we ended up doing what we do now, where basically everything is done under one roof. So there's several different ways you can do it. You know, in order to expand to Europe, you can go and listen to every podcast and YouTube we've ever done, and you're probably going to find most of the information on how to do that. Certainly the nuts and bolts, because we're open book. I'll tell everyone how to do it because I think it's amazing. And if you don't have the money, but you've got the time, then go and learn how to do it. No problems. You know, the resource is there. So if you want the sort of the harder way, go and listen to our content. You'll be able to do it. The easier way is to find service providers that understand how to do it. The problem with any expansion, wherever you expand in the world, there's lots of different pieces in order to make that work. And they typically fall under three things, right? So you've got to make sure that the compliance piece of your business and your products is compliant, right? You've got to make sure the logistics piece is nailed, whether it be shipping into the country, customs, and a 3PL FBA model, whatever that might be. And then you've got the ability to be able to scale and grow that within a growth division that can run the account on multiple marketplaces, omnichannel, should it be it, etc. So it's easy if you've got the right support and help and you're not going into it blind. You know, we've got what we call a 7-step pathway to expansion that we've honed over the years that, you know, people can grab from the podcast, go to our website /podcast and you'll get it. You know, there's but the idea being that we've got a pathway, a structure for you to follow, and you can go through that and do that easily. You could work with 10 service providers, you know, happy days, go and work with them all. If you go and work with 10 service providers and haggle, you'll find better prices than doing it, you know, just with us under one roof. But how easy do you want to make it? And life's about those choices, isn't it? Sure. Have you got the time or you got the resource? or you got the cash in no time.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a great answer.
That is really cool. Yeah. So you guys handle more. You guys are just very logistic focused, right? Is there, you talked about under this roof. What else is under the roof that you guys do?
So all under one roof is all of the compliance that you would need. So all of your VAT, all of your business accounting, all catered for. All of your product compliance, you making sure your product's compliant with the regulations in the country you're going to, you know, whether it be a medical device or a supplement or an electrical product, doesn't matter. We solve all of those pieces. The logistics, we've got the warehousing, we've got the shipping, you know, we can do all of those pieces and then we can run your accounts for you. So, you know, you want to launch in Europe and you want to know which marketplaces to go on, or should we run your Amazon account or your eBay account or manage your Shopify account, or, you know, what other marketplaces are relevant to you and your product? Because whilst, you know, you've got what, let's say Amazon, actually there's another 40 we might recommend depending on your product. So we basically have, so instead of you needing, you know, 10 service providers, you just need one. It just make life easier.
Okay. Do you guys do like listing optimization or anything with the actual listing? Do you guys help them? You have partners that do that with you, or how does that work?
Nope. So we do everything in house, all under one roof. Now what we would say with our account management is we run the day-to-day account management of your Amazon account. For example, what we don't do is your listing optimization. We do your listing optimization for Europe. We do your pay-per-click ads for Europe. But what we don't do is we're not an agency that you'd spend $5,000 a month on in order to fine tune that. So there's a difference. You know, our account management's £1,500 a month. You know, it's day to day. We're like your outsource piece that does it, rather than, you know, there's agencies that do just listing optimization. That's $5,000 a month. So that's where we fine tune that.
Gotcha. Have you ever thought about, or have you guys in the near future ever thought about bolting on another company that potentially does like deeper listing optimization, like product photography, product videography, things like that?
Yeah. So we do photography, but what we are looking at specifically. So we're currently, you know, for business owners, you go through these stages in your business. I was going to say career then, but as the business grows, you go through different parts, and what gets you to one bit doesn't get you to the next bit, and so on. You keep on having to adapt and overcome and learn. And the next stage of where we are is acquiring further businesses into that can add two things: either more customers in what we're already doing. You know, it could be VAT company, for example, but it might be exactly what you say there. Do we acquire a listing optimization specialist company to bring in those skills? So we're currently on what I would call the acquisition trail to add and build out our business further, because that will take us to the next level. To be honest, because we do everything already, but we need to bolt in like listing optimization as a great example, you know, to get us to a different audience or to a different level. You know, we're seeing what comes up, because acquisitions for me is more about what comes up and what's right and what works, this is the only option.
Absolutely. And I think thinking about, expanding into different markets or a piece of the pie that you guys don't have is kind of cool too, to think about. Very cool.
Yeah. So Andy, as we kind of wrap things up, we always ask our guest, if there's one thing that you hope that our audience takes away from this conversation, what would it be?
That if you're thinking about growing whatever you do, you should think about and consider expansion. You're expanding your current product line into a new market. You haven't got to do any extra research. You haven't got to do for new product design. You haven't got to do any extra work on that other than making sure that product could be sold in that region. And whether it's Canada and Mexico, or whether it's Europe or Australia or India, you've really got to have a look at what the opportunities are available to you. And you should identify, you know, where are the biggest markets, and just Google biggest e-commerce markets in the world. Like, you don't need to get a bit of advice from me. Like, you can just Google that and you're going to get China, the US, and then a whole load of European countries following that. And that's why we do a lot of work specializing in Europe, because it just works.
Makes sense.
Awesome, man. Well, if people want to follow you or maybe start expanding their private label brand in the EU, where would they find you?
Excellent. Yeah. So Global E-commerce Experts, if you Google that, you'll be able to find our website, fingers crossed. But if you go to all the usual social channels, you'll be able to find us, Global E-commerce Experts. If you want to download our 7-step guide, then go to our website /podcast and you'll be able to download our 7-step ebook, which is in more detail about how to expand. And actually that expansion pathway, whilst it's specific to Europe, you could use the same process for Canada or India or Australia or wherever else. And you want to talk to me, just go to LinkedIn and tap in Andy Hooper and you'll find me.
Amazing.
Well, sweet, man. Well, Andy, thank you so much for giving us the time and opportunity to chat with you. And we look forward to having you on the show again sometime soon.
Eli, Carl, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Wonderful. Awesome.
Thanks, Andy.
And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the Biz Bros Podcast. Go ahead and go on the Googles and type in Biz Bros Podcast. Fingers crossed, we'll pop up. I know we will. And hit the subscribe button to listen to great guests just like Andy. So we'll hear and see you in the next Biz Bros Podcast.
See you guys.